Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. It's a brand new edition, episode number 190. Izzy's coughing. You okay? You got some Ronies?
No, I do not have the Ronies, but I just had a little urge to cough.
Made me nervous there. I thought maybe I messed something up and you're kind of like doing an ahem. Ahem.
My palms are sweaty.
Palms are sweaty. Vomit on the sweater already. This is episode 190 already.
I like it.
But anyway, we got plenty of stuff to cover. This week, we're going to cover trade deadline buys and sells. So guys that you can target in your trades with trade deadlines coming up. I realize and I'm aware that many leagues do not have trade deadlines. You can just imagine, just pretend that your league has a trade deadline, or you can use the NFL trade deadline as yours. But we're going to go through a list of guys that we think are trade targets. We want to kind of do like a mid-season recap of our bold predictions. We're going to cover some of our biggest hits and our biggest misses, right?
Yes, sir.
And then we're going to finish things off with a, excuse me, a little bit of Ronies. All right, I'm fine now. This is kind of a growing segment on our podcast, and it's kind of become like a weekly thing. But we're going to cover some of the polls. We've been doing a series of polls each week, and we like to revisit them to see how frequently they change and how volatile dynasty value truly is, at least the perceived value, right?
Yes.
So plenty of stuff to cover. We're going to get right into it. By the way, I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter, at FF Hercules. Joining me, Izzy Elkafoss, Pharaoh Fantasy. Izzy, what's up, man?
What up?
What's new? Did you get out and vote today? Today is Tuesday for us.
I will say, my one thing I will be steadfast in is that we've gotten to the point now where the political system has us fighting each other over something we should be fighting the political system over. Because if you really think about it, most of the individuals in this world or in this country are far more central than the options that we're given. We are given far right options and we're given far left options, but we're far more central than we're given the choice to vote for.
So mission accomplished.
Yeah, and now they've created a way to pit both sides against each other when we shouldn't be fighting amongst each other. We should be fighting amongst the system itself, because the system is broken. That's my take.
Look for Izzy Elkafoss, presidential candidate in 2024. And there you have it, folks. That's as political as this show gets. We're going to move on to the football topics because that's what you pay for us for, right? People pay us a ton of money. We're going to get into, do you want to start things off with the trade deadline buys and sells?
Yeah, sure.
So trade deadline in some leagues swiftly approaching. NFL, it is very swiftly approaching. I'm pretty sure actually is it Wednesday or is it today? I think it's today or tomorrow.
Today at 4 Eastern, I believe.
Yeah, wow. So I don't expect a lot of action. I was watching like some an NFL, maybe it was a fantasy show, Fox NFL, and a lot of the professional analysts don't believe there's going to be a lot of action because of the dynamics of COVID and a lot of people that are in like a win now position. I love this take, by the way. A lot of teams that are in a win now position that are looking to bolster their lineups or like look for help with the COVID policies, they would have to wait like a week or almost 2 weeks basically to pass protocols before they could get on the field. So it doesn't really help them a ton this year. You know, it's kind of like you lose a lot of time with trades. So I could see that being a pretty big factor in whether or not people would move a guy or trade a guy. So, but there are trades in your fantasy leagues, and I'm seeing a very large increase of action and trades, and the trade wire has been really fun to monitor. just to kind of see what people are getting for guys. It's wild, but we want to list off some guys that we're targeting and as buys or sells. And I might want, I'm going to start really quick, Izzy. So
yeah,
some guys, and this is plural, some guys I'm in two leagues out of my eight dynasties that I'm kind of retooling / rebuilding. And I'm targeting all of these guys. And like, there's been some guys that have been added to this list too, but I'm targeting Cortland Sutton very hard. Saquon Barkley. I should just say all of the injured guys. I could list them all off. Now you can add George Kittle to the list. All of these guys are going to be a little bit more easy to acquire. You might not find that there's huge discounts, but teams that are contending might be more likely to move them in order to, you know, maintain their contending atmosphere. But so I'm targeting Cortland Sutton, Saquon Barkley, George Kittle primarily, and then some of the others. I know that McCaffrey's coming back. Miles Sanders isn't very badly hurt, but you might find some people that are impatient with some of these bigger names that are banged up. And I'm heavily targeting those for rebuilding, retooling teams. And I love those moves.
Okay.
Thoughts?
So I agree. I mean, that's what I've essentially been doing, is trying to acquire anybody that's hurt for a couple reasons. One, injured players have less value. And two, injured players can't hurt your draft position because you can't plug them into your lineup and they can't score you fantasy points. So yeah, Sutton, obvious buy. Kittle, I don't think you'll be able to buy anyways. People will hold on to that. The tight end position is so hard to find an overachiever right now. And
well, Kittle, can I give you a real life example of this, though?
Yeah.
So you and I are in a league together, the DTC Championship League. I consider it an industry league. Most of the people that are in it are writers and stuff. But you have now lost Zach Ertz and George Kittle for the season, and your team is either first place or second place. You don't have another tight end. You're kind of being forced to make a move for a tight end. I don't think you're going to find anybody on the waiver wire because it's a very, very deep league. Are you more likely to move George Kittle to try to like maintain, you know, being a contender?
No, I'm not moving it. I'll just start Irv Smith every week. I don't really care. He's my third tight end.
You'll make a difference.
It is what it is. Here's the thing that people don't understand. Like, sure, Ertz has done nothing. Kittle has done nothing outside of, and this is a tight end premium league, outside of week 4 and week 6, Kittle's actually underperformed. In tight end premium, he gave me 11 points, 10 points, and 7 points, and 13 points. In a standard league, that would amount to 8, 8, 10, and 5. So that's not, I am not winning or losing games because of George Kittle. In fact, the one game where he had 47.9 fantasy points in tight end premium, I ended up losing that game.
So you're blaming Kittle for it? What the?
No, I'm just saying, like, my record is not because of George Kittle. You know, I mean, I'm so strong everywhere else that my wins and losses are not predicated on George Kittle. It's not like he's been going gangbusters for me, and now I'm losing George Kittle, so I have to go find somebody. And that's like that for most George Kittle owners. He's either been banged up or underperforming outside of two big games. So why are you rushing to go get somebody?
Yeah.
You're likely being able to start somebody. Like, honestly, go buy Dalton Schultz for a fourth if you really want a tight end, and he'll get you 8 points.
I don't think so. Not with Ben DiNucci and Andy Dalton, but
he just got you 8 points with Ben DiNucci.
Oh, yeah, tight end premium, I got you.
No, even without, I think he was like 4 for... He was 6 for 53. So even without tight end premium, he gave you double-digit fantasy points with Ben DiNucci. He costs next to nothing. He's given you multiple double-digit games, just like George Kittle, and he's going to cost you a fourth, and you don't have to blow your team up in any way. And that was going to be one of my suggestions. Go, if you want a tight end, just go buy Dalton Schultz. He's practically free. Who's really holding him hostage? Nobody.
Nobody. Maybe Dalton Schultz. He plays Dynasty.
I think people need to stop panicking over name value when they go down. Unless it's somebody that's really carrying your team and your replacement level player is far below what that player has been producing. Sure. But George Kittle has not been outproducing my replacement player by enough for me to go out and acquire a tight end for top dollar.
I just think something has to be said about expected points, and I don't feel as comfortable with my team unless I do have some bigger names that have performed historically. I wouldn't feel comfortable being like a top contender with Dalton Schultz in my lineup personally. That's just me.
I mean, I've been a contender with George Kittle in my lineup, and the only big game, the biggest game of his season, I ended up losing anyways.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking in hindsight, and you can't blame him for the big game that you lost.
No, I'm saying it's not. He hasn't been a weekly monster. It's not like
not yet. Yeah, but like going forward, you think the laws of averages would kick in, right?
They do. He's a tight end two right now, or tight end three, but he had most of that production in one game. That still works towards his season totals.
It does, but what I'm saying is a lot of those lows that he's experiencing, I think the average is going to come up because he's normally his average is better than that.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that could be true, but
you can't tell me you were expecting 8 to 10 points out of George Kittle each week going forward.
No, but I've had the most points in this league with George Kittle underperforming. So what am I really chasing? I'll just go get Dalton Schultz. I'll replace the 8 to 10 points a week, and I'll be perfectly fine giving up that 14 points per game. And then really, there's nobody to buy. The only people that you're buying are guys that are underperforming. So give me a list of tight ends to buy right now.
Yeah,
how about this? Let me do it this way. Outside, pick somebody besides Dalton Schultz. So give me a tight end to buy that's not named Dalton Schultz, and let's talk about his cost versus what they could actually put up in fantasy points for you. And what would that player be?
Gronk.
So you're gonna have to give up a second for Gronk, right?
You think he'd be that expensive? I guess so.
Yeah.
And Jared Cook.
Jared Cook. Okay. Probably
Cook's a good example because
a third for Jared Cook.
He's missed a couple games, and for average, he's a top 10 tight end.
He's missed one game. For average, yes, he's missed. Yeah, he's a top tight end.
Like he missed most of week three. Missed all of week four, and he had a bye week.
Okay, so now let's think about this for a second. We have Jared Cook, who's been doing this he's barely been in the top 10 with Michael Thomas. Meanwhile, you have Dalton Schultz, who just put up double-digit points with Ben DiNucci, and his situation isn't changing moving forward. It's either going to be Andy Dalton or DiNucci. You have Gronk, who now they're adding Antonio Brown, and Godwin's hurt. So you're paying a second for Gronk, and now Antonio Brown's being added, and then Godwin's going to come back in a couple weeks. So what is Gronk's role really? Jared Cook's going to deal with Michael Thomas. So I'm buying these players, and who knows what they're going to give me with the additions to the offense. Why didn't I just get Dalton Schultz, who his floor is what, 5-6 fantasy points?
One point, yeah.
I mean, he'll give me 5 or 6 fantasy points.
Yeah, he had one catch for 6 yards in week 5, but yeah, whatever you think his floor is, yeah.
Yeah, so okay, in the games that he started, out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 games he started, he's had one game under 5 fantasy points?
Five, why is that he's had 2 under 5.
205.
Week 1 and week 5, 2.7 and 1 point. I don't understand what the scoring system in this league I'm looking at is, because week 8 he had 6 for 53 and that was 10.6 points. Did he have a fumble or something? No.
6 for 53 and he had 10.8?
10.6.
Yeah, that's 11.3. I don't get that. You looking at a point per first down league maybe?
Yeah, nerd calculators?
Yeah, I think that's a point per first down league.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, so that's probably why. But irregardless, it doesn't matter. Regardless, it doesn't matter, or you could say irregardless.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with irregardless. There isn't enough juice behind Gronk and Cook to give up the higher draft capital, in my opinion. It's not like they provide me a floor that's significantly higher than Dalton Schultz on a weekly basis. And I'll pay the fourth. I'll get some of the production. And honestly, if my season comes down to Gronkowski versus Dalton Schultz, and that's what cost me the title, then I'm very unlucky because the odds of that happening are very slim. Like that,
Jimmy Graham.
But I mean, yeah, you can probably get him for a fourth too. He'll get you 10 points, 8 to 10 points. Sure. Jimmy Graham's up there. Do you want Jimmy Graham? Go
Trey
ahead.
Burton. Yeah, Trey Burton's doing well somehow.
Trey Burton, I wonder what he costs actually. But I mean, Trey Burton's getting like rushing touchdowns and stuff that isn't really sustainable.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I'm not, it's not like I'm comfortable overpaying for, you know, a Mark Andrews who's underperformed, a Jonnu Smith who's underperformed, a Noah Fant, an Evan Ingram, all underperforming. You're going to have to pay top dollar for him.
Yeah.
You know? So I think just take the Schultz, take the Graham, give up a fourth for either of those two players, and then plug them in and just hope that they give you 8 to 10 fantasy points.
So Schultz is your contender buy, and I gave 3 rebuilding buys. Should we, you want to keep doing a couple more buys, or do you want to switch over to sell?
I don't think we should really be doing sells, just because it's really hard to, most sells are going to be contending buys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if we go with a contending buy, that's going to probably be a sell.
I agree.
So we'll just do the buys for rebuilding and contending, and that'll take care of the sells.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we did a rebuilding buy and we did a contending buy.
The lovely tight end position.
Yep, and I had a couple of wide receivers.
Yeah, let's do it. Go ahead.
Running backs. So like I said, I kind of did one of each. I did Saquon, Cortland, and Kittle. So I kind of did one of each. Maybe I should do a quarterback then too.
Yeah, I mean, what other... Okay, let's talk about what other buys do you have that aren't hurt? Any for rebuilders?
Yeah, you know, this is crazy. So I was talking to our mutual friend, Habashi, we'll give him a shout out on the podcast here, but we were looking back because we made a small trade this morning. I'm not sure if you saw that. I'm a rebuilder. He's a contender. I gave him Marvin Jones. He gave me Josh Reynolds, which Josh Reynolds is doing really well, getting a lot of targets recently somehow. And then with Cooper Kupp going down, I think he stands to gain some value. So he might be a sneaky little buy for a rebuilder, even maybe somebody who's trying to get like a streaming wide receiver. He's not really bad to buy on any side right now, right?
Yeah, Reynolds, yeah, not too bad. I would probably lean towards like Van Jefferson over Josh Reynolds just because...
Oh, wow, cool.
And the only reason is... I feel like Josh Reynolds has been, and I love Josh Reynolds. I loved him coming out. But he's kind of old news. So Josh Reynolds would need to have like a serious string of good performances for him to really have resale value. Whereas Van Jefferson, if he comes in, he's a rookie and he puts together 3 or 4 good games, his value, let's say they both have the same. Van Jefferson goes out and has 2 games where he has 6 for 80 and a touchdown. His value is significantly higher than if Josh Reynolds did that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? And they're both going to cost relatively the same. Van Jefferson might cost a little bit more because the person that drafted him is probably just hanging on to him. I'm willing to pay the little bit extra for Van Jefferson than I am for Josh Reynolds just on the opportunity of a value spike for similar performances.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good point. He's a sexier name. He's newer and he stands to, like, if he had the last 2 or 3 weeks that Josh Reynolds has had, he would have blown up.
Yes. Yeah.
I agree with that.
Another rebuilding buy.
Wait, can I just finish my point? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. I thought you were done. I apologize.
I spun off on Josh Reynolds and my intention was like, Habish and I were talking about the guys that we were looking at. So like we were talking about the draft and he's traded away a couple of his draft picks. There we go. I'm going to get my thoughts out here.
Jesus Christ.
He's traded away a couple of his draft picks and we wanted to look back to see what his draft picks would have become. And we were looking at his second round pick. This is a 10-man league. It's becoming super flex. So it's a little bit deeper than a lot of leagues, but the second round was absurdly stacked this year. If you look at some of the names that were drafted in our second round, Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson, Henry Ruggs, Denzel Mims, Keyshawn Vaughn, Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, Zach Moss, Antonio Gibson. The second round was absolutely loaded. And if I'm, whether or not I'm a rebuilder or contender, I'm buying as many of these wide receivers in this rookie class as I possibly can get my hands on that somebody's going to let go of. I realize that guys like T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, they've become unrealistic now, but there's still an opportunity to buy like the Mims, The Mimses, would you say Mimses for plural?
Mimses, yep.
The Michael Pittmans, there's still time to buy. Laviska Shenault, he's kind of like fallen on the wayside a little bit, but there's a quarterback change coming in now. So like I'd be buying, and like you said, Van Jefferson, he was taken in the third in many cases. I'd be buying as many of these second to third round rookie wide receivers as I possibly can right now that haven't blown up yet.
Yeah, I feel that way about Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, I think, is a huge buy in Dynasty.
Oh, I was so confused. Gabriel, for some reason, I didn't recognize Gabe Davis.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Gabriel so Davis. Confused. I forgot I'm talking to fucking most literal guy in the world.
Well,
If I don't bring you to the lake, you'll never find it, even if it's 10 yards away. I have to literally bring you to the shore.
That's because you're saying go to the
lock-in
instead of lake.
If I take you 10 feet away from the lake, I'd be like, hey, I brought you to the lake. You're like, no, you didn't. Sorry, Hurley.
No, it's because you brought me to a lake and you called it a river. That's your problem. Like, this isn't a river.
You're an idiot. Gabriel Davis. If I knew his middle name, I would say it for you, but I don't.
I'll look it up. Keep going.
Okay, thank you. At Davis GB1, Hurley, if you know him by his Twitter handle. So we have a Bills team that has Stephon Diggs, has Cole Beasley, and has had John Brown. And Gabriel Davis, as a rookie, has found his way into that lineup and has found his way into targets as a 21-year-old fourth-round rookie. So I would confidently say that this guy has a bright future based on that. I don't think Beasley, I mean, he's getting older. John Brown is getting older. I don't see them being long-term stays in Buffalo. And as Gabriel Davis continues to grow, I think Diggs and Gabriel Davis will be the 1-2 there long term. And he could be had for probably a third round pick right now.
I like it. That's a good one. I like those cheaper ones because it's a more realistic buy, you know, instead of saying, go out and get CeeDee Lamb. That's tough to accomplish, you know?
Yeah. And here's the thing. You got to do this stuff in kind of like sneaky ways. I'm rebuilding a team and I'm trying to get. I'm literally starting every week. I'm starting Jordan Wilkins and Darius Geis. I made it to where, which is funny because Jordan Wilkins screwed me, but every week I'm starting Jordan Wilkins and Darius Geis. And I've literally on purpose avoided having any other running backs on my team. So I have to start Darius Geis. Okay. And I've won now 2 games and my team is not good. I have a whole bunch of draft picks. And I'm still winning games because I have Rodgers and Stafford at quarterback, and nobody wants to trade for Rodgers. So we got these 2 quarterbacks, and they're putting up monster points. They put up monster points last week, and they're screwing me. But now I'm second to last place, but I traded TJ Hockenson for a 2021 first, Henry Ruggs, and Gabriel Davis. And the reason why I did that is, you know, TJ Hockenson, I'm huge on. I think he's going to be a really good tight end. But I look at it and say, okay, I get more draft capital and I get 2 young receivers that all I need is for them to have big games and I can start flipping them. So I can turn what TJ Hockenson was into multiple first round picks at some point in time.
Yeah.
That's kind of my vision with it. And it pained me to get rid of TJ, but I feel like that was a good cash out. But yeah, Gabe Davis, throw him into deals like that. Try to get deals where you can kind of throw, you know, I can't do it. If you threw in Gabe Davis, I'll do it. You know, that type of thing.
I like it. Sneaky, very, very sneaky.
Yes, yes, yes. Excellent.
That's pretty good. It's kind of funny that you're saying like the buys are sells, but I'm trying to like make that equation match on some of the guys we've just listed off. They don't really quite fit perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't be a contender sell, you know? Because he's not going to get you enough to make it worth it.
Yeah, but he's not a contender, but once again, you can be a non-contender sell, but I find it hard to find a contender buy that isn't a rebuild sell.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. In most cases, I agree.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Do we have I think we need to do some quarterbacks to balance this out a little bit.
Oh, I said DJ Chark. You should be buying DJ Chark. He might have just snuck into second plus X player territory, and I'm doing that all day.
Wow. Chark and Gabe.
Yeah, Chark. I mean, you take advantage of the opportunity where he's been either banged up or out of the lineup, similar to what you did with Deontay Johnson. Take advantage. You got him for a second round pick because he was banged up, and now he's probably going to pay you dividends as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of shifting gears to quarterback land. I like, and this is going to hit home for you because this is a personal fave of yours, but or used to be. And I saw a recent tweet of yours. Drew Lock is one of my favorite rebuilder buys. And the reason why is because he's come off a pretty difficult string of games. I think last week he performed pretty well. And he's got a couple of good matchups coming up, but I think he's a perfect project to have. And people are starting to give up, even guys that were big believers in him early on, like you, Izzy. I saw your tweet, like you want people just to admit that he's Jay Cutler now.
Which isn't bad. I mean, trajectory. No. So I'm saying his career trajectory might be a Jay Cutler type, where he's going to be a QB2. You know, he could flirt with low QB1 production. He's going to be maddening. He's going to be very inconsistent, but he's got a lot of pure talent, and teams will continue to give him chances because of that.
And I want to buy him based on that because people are embracing that he fits a certain narrative now, and I want to buy at that price, you know, because he's not going to sink much further. I know that there's an NFL draft coming that's pretty filled at the top with quarterbacks, at least top heavy, and the Denver Broncos aren't really quite in contention for that, but I do think that Drew Lock has a second half of the season in him where he could change your minds. It's not too late. And I agree, Izzy. I don't think that he no longer projects as like a top quarterback anymore. But again, he has a second half of the season where he can change some minds, turn some heads.
I think his ceiling is Matt Stafford, and his floor is obviously it could be anybody that's completely busted, but I think he falls into the Jay Cutler.
So he just finished a string of games where he played the number 9th ranked pass defense in the Patriots, the number 4 ranked pass defense in the Chiefs, and then he came off a game where he was relatively efficient, 250 yards, 3 touchdowns against the Chargers, 21st ranked. But listen to his schedule. He plays the Falcons, the number 30th ranked defense, the Raiders, the 24th overall, the Dolphins, 20th overall, Saints, 17th. Then it gets a little bit more difficult with the Chiefs again. But Panthers, Bills, Chargers. So he's got a pretty good second half of the season to change some people's minds. And his price is much, much different than it was earlier in the season. So I like his current price for like a project team.
What would you give up for him?
Superflex League, I would try dangling like a... Nobody's going to give him for a second. But I might try like a couple of seconds. I don't feel good enough to offer a first for him at his current price, but I might try to do like a 2 seconds or a second plus a player.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in line with that.
Or maybe find like if there's a contending team that for some reason has Lock on their roster and they're not getting much points from them, they're entering some bye week difficulties. Maybe I might try to like give them an older, like an aging quarterback and call it good. Like, who's an aging quarterback that would be good to give for Drew Lock? Roethlisberger is probably too much for Lock at this point.
Oh, I'd give that up. Hell yeah.
Would you? Okay, so that might be a good example then. Maybe that contending team might take Big Ben for Drew Lock.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good swap. And it's worth the dice roll. I mean, Big Ben might be playable for the next couple of years, but it's a good gamble.
Yeah, I agree. So I like that. I like him as a buy right now.
On the flip side for contenders, this might sound goofy, but if I'm a contender and I need a quarterback, I'm actually going to trade for Andy Dalton.
Well, I thought you were going to say Tom Brady for a second there.
No, he's too expensive. I'm trading for Andy Dalton. You probably don't have to give up any more than the third. And that offense still has Lamb, Gallup, and Cooper with Zeke in it. And we've seen the potential. I know that Dalton isn't as good as what Dak did to start the year, but I know he's not as bad as what Dalton did in his starts.
Yeah.
So, and I think that I don't like trading for old quarterbacks that are going to cost you a late first, early second to acquire. I'd rather get the third. Give up a third round pick and get a player that could potentially help me.
Yep, I can see how that makes sense.
Now, the thing that sucks is that whenever your trade deadline is, you might have to wait until week 11 because he plays the Steelers week 9, who, I mean, I imagine if he's clear concussion protocol, he's going to get destroyed in that game. And then he's got the bye in week 10. So you really could be looking at a week 11 pickup of Andy Dalton, and you could ride him. You don't have to, I wouldn't say ride him. That would be tough if you actually were riding him into the playoffs. But if he was like your QB3 and in a pinch QB2 and basically insurance, if you can get Dalton as your QB3 as insurance, even if you have to squeeze him in as a QB2 for the playoffs, it's better than not starting a quarterback at all. And he won't cost you much.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting. Yeah, he wasn't on my radar. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, you might even be able to dangle a fourth, honestly. Like, if you're a rebuild, if you're a team that doesn't need Andy Dalton, would you give up Andy Dalton for a fourth, knowing that Dak's going to come back next year and he's been terrible?
Yeah, and even if Dak doesn't return to the Cowboys, Andy Dalton isn't the guy, probably, you know?
No. Yeah, they're going to be bad enough to where they're going to be drafting somebody else if he can't turn anything around.
Yeah, or offseason bringing somebody in. There's lots of options, yeah.
Yep.
Not a lot of great options, but there's a lot that are better than Andy Dalton, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how much I trust him, but like with those weapons, I was surprised to see his lack of performance in the one game that he played, at least, you know, with the guys that he's got on his team. Like, you would feel like it's almost like a situation where a quarterback couldn't fail, but they found a way. So nature always finds a way.
He did put up, you know, he had in this league that I'm looking at 16 fantasy points, and against the Cardinals in week 6. Before shitting the bed against Washington, who is the top rated pass defense in the league in terms of points given up to the quarterback for a variety of different reasons. But he's not as bad as we think he is.
Yeah, I guess so. That's not bad. It's sneaky because he didn't really get a chance to have that big one or two games. So you're right. His value is relatively low right now. People are giving up already. So I think that's pretty good for the trade deadline buys and sells. We need to move into the next topic of the podcast. Do you want to skip into polls or do you want to do the midseason buys and sells? We could always do next week.
Let's do the quick recap on the midseason buys and sells and then finish up with the polls.
Or the midseason bold predictions.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you remember, if you were listening at the beginning of the season, Izzy and I always like to do like a bold predictions. And we had about 20 of them. We're not going to cover every single one of them at this point in the season. But since we're at the midpoint of the regular season, we thought it'd be a good time to kind of like recap some of them. So we're going to do our biggest hits and our biggest misses at the midpoint for our bold predictions, 2020. That's a mouthful. So I think we're going to do like one or two of each of our hits and misses. Izzy, I'll let you start first since you've got a few more than I did. A few more hits, a few more misses.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So go ahead. What's your favorite hit so far of this year's bold predictions?
There's so many. I have so many. You know?
This is a half a victory lap we're taking right now.
My 2020 bold predictions were a lot better than my 2019. My favorite, I guess. I'll go with the, I think it's a little bit more safer that he won't blow it unless he gets hurt, is Waller finishing top two.
And it's top three, but yeah.
I moved it. Remember? I said it's not top three isn't bold enough. Top three is bold, but I want to go super bold. And I had Waller second behind Kelsey in fantasy points at the tight end position this year.
That's right. And now that Kittle went down,
I feel good about it.
It's much higher. Yep.
Yeah, they were jostling, and I feel good about it now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I like that. My favorite win so far, I mean, can't call it a win, but it's a near win. I projected Aaron Rodgers to be a return to glory top four fantasy quarterback in 2020, and he's currently sitting at QB5 for, I think, average because he's had his bye week. So I like that one as a win right now, and he's looking a lot better. So like, I think much like your Waller one, I feel comfortable with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's back, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that he could hold that. I think it really comes down to Josh Allen. Does Josh Allen regress? I mean, does he play like he's played the last couple weeks or does he play like he did the first few weeks? And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, he is. You're right. He's come down. I hope he regains that because I got a lot of Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, we just gotta. I gotta hope some of these other ones hold. I mean, it'll be a test to see if these guys hold a little bit here. But I'd say overall, we had a good bold predictions performance so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think we did 20 bold predictions, and out of 20 at the midpoint of the season, there are probably a total of seven or eight that we've that are relative hits at this point. So,
And a lot of the other ones that haven't hit are because of could be due to injury.
Yeah, lots of injury, lots of injury, and I mean, injury has plagued the season. It feels like more and more every year, but this season feels like an anomaly. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'll rip through these. I'm not even going to talk about them. I'll just mention them. And then that way the listeners can, because we're going to recap this at the end of the year. So I had Kirk Cousins top 10 at quarterback. I had Mullins replacing Jimmy Garoppolo. I had Waller top 2. I had Jaden Graham beating Hayden Hurst in fantasy points. I had Chris Herndon top 10. In tight end. I had Stephon Diggs outside the top 24. I had Thielen finishing top 5 wide receiver fantasy points. I had Deontay Johnson being the wide receiver 1 in Pittsburgh, finishing top 16 in fantasy points. I had Brandon Ayuk leading rookie wide receivers in fantasy points and outscoring Deebo Samuel when both healthy. I had Jameson Crowder finishing top 10 in targets per game. I had Steven Sims finishing as a wide receiver 3. I had Josh Jacobs finishing as a top 5 running back, being a top 5 running back startup pick, and being a top 10 overall starting running back.
You missed your Michael Gallup.
Oh, yeah. I didn't write that one down. I must have missed that one. What was Michael Gallup?
Lead the Cowboys in receiving and be a wide receiver 1 on the season.
Yeah. Michael Gallup. Not ideal. So, yeah, I would say the first half, not good. With the Diggs one, I lost that one. That was the one I was going to highlight as my biggest miss. I'm amazed at what Buffalo's done to their offense. They've completely shifted from just run heavy to mixing it up quite a bit. Their pass attempts are through the roof relative to what they did in 2019. Obviously, Herndon's been in and out of the lineup, and I just don't think he's it anymore. My Kirk Cousins top 10, no. And then other than that, I mean, Steven Sims got hurt. Jameson Crowder's been hurt, but he still actually might be top 10 targets per game. And then Ayuk's in the running. Deontay's in the running. Thielen, he's in the top 5 right now. Jacobs, that one's, if the season ended, it's locked in. So, yeah, not bad.
And then, so your favorite or your biggest miss, do you think, is Diggs to this point?
Yep.
Mine was Tyler Higbee. I was convinced that he would be a top 3 tight end this season, my bold prediction. After 2 weeks, it was looking very promising. I think he had a 3-touchdown game in week 2. So I was feeling pretty good about that one. And he spiked up for a little while. It's fallen down to about tight end 17, I think I've seen in most scoring formats. I'm an optimist, though, because last year he was a second half of the season guy. And with Cooper Kupp going down, that could be a nice, cool new narrative for me to hold on to hope, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely my biggest miss because I was excited about him. However, he has become one of my favorite buys because I still believe I just bought him for like a second round pick in a tight end premium league. I don't really recommend doing that in most cases. I think, Izzy, you're not as much of a fan as I am.
He was my biggest bust at tight end position this year.
He has a big chest.
Here's the thing. I will say your big thing on how 2019 ended versus what you expected in 2020. So you put a lot of emphasis on the end of year finish of these players as your decision-making process. And I will say all three of your decisions did not play out as expected, which was Sam Darnold, Joe Mixon, and Tyler Higbee, and Juju. I don't know if Juju was in that as well.
And Goff, we shared Goff.
And Goff. So all five of them have not.
Juju was bad all the whole season because he didn't have Ben Roethlisberger.
Gotcha.
Juju was just, I like the offense and I thought he would come back hot, but he hasn't.
Okay, gotcha. So Goff, Darnold, Mixon, and Higbee have not carried on their 2019 progress into 2020.
And so, maybe it'll be a replica of 2019, but you're right. They haven't continued on.
Does that change? Does that make you waver on your process at all moving forward?
Yes. I've had this process for a long time. A lot of times when I've seen hot finishes, at least with at least a 5-game minimum for a trend to finish a season. And like, I don't like to use playoffs as a control too much, but sometimes that can carry into the playoffs. Like that's like, it's a little bit dangerous. It's the James White rule. You don't want to really put a lot of emphasis on the playoffs because teams can play much differently than they do during the marathon of the regular season. But a lot of times I do see that continuing on. In this case, for these bold predictions, this is why they're bold. The odds are we're against these bold predictions and it just, they didn't hit. So,
yep. Fair enough. Cool. Should we go to our polls?
Yep. It is time for the segment of the podcast where we discuss our polls. I call this, the social experiment, right? The Dynasty social experiment.
You didn't, by the way, you didn't use your Kittle name. You had the Kittle name all lined up. It's a shame.
Oh, which one was it? Oh, a little Kittle who got hit over the middle. He was feeling a little brittle.
Yeah, that was a good one. That would have been a good start to that. It's okay.
It didn't happen. Yeah, it didn't happen. Sometimes it isn't meant to be.
You missed it.
So we got our polls each week. We like to recap polls just to kind of display how volatile dynasty values are from week to week, depending on players' performances, especially with rookies. I feel like we highlight rookies the most. So Izzy, with that, you can take it away. I like to start with our OG poll where we have Jonathan Taylor versus
Clyde.
Emphasize versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mm-hmm. Helaire.
What do you think it finished this week? So to give you context, last week, week 7, Jonathan Taylor, 62%, Clyde, 38%. What was it after 8 weeks?
I'm going to say, man, people don't like either of them now, but nothing has changed. I think JT had more touches. The Lev Bell, people who are concerned about Lev Bell still are concerned now. I think Lev Bell has brought our concerns to fruition with split carries. But so what was it after 7 weeks again?
62-38 in favor of Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I'm going to say no change, maybe slightly different. I'm going to go 60-40.
You were close. It's 63-37.
Wow, more.
In favor of Clyde.
No way. What is going on? I'm so confused.
I think the fact that Jonathan Taylor had 11 carries for 22 yards, and Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines scooped up all the fantasy points and looked significantly better, really hurt Taylor this week.
Yeah, but he's nicked. Speaking of hurt Taylor, Taylor is hurt. He's nicked
up.
He's
not. But so are a lot of players. I honestly haven't been impressed with Jonathan Taylor all year.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it's starting to come to light now that maybe he's not, like, he hasn't had that game. We've been waiting for that game, and it hasn't happened. So, yeah, it's starting to show. We'll see.
Yeah.
The armor is coming undone.
Trent Richardson 2.0.
Yeah. Not good. Next one. Burrow, Herbert, Tua. Last week, 47-45-8. Burrow with the edge at the top. Tua, obviously, at the bottom at 8%. We had predicted, well, we did a prediction of where we would go the following week. You said it would be 48-48-6. I had it at 48-46. You had it 48-48-4. So
four,
tie,
yeah.
Burrow, and then Tua would lose 4%. I had it at 48-46-6. We were both really close. I nailed Herbert. You nailed Tua. We both missed on Herbert. It ended up being 50% for Burrow, 46% for Herbert, 4% for Tua. Not a huge shift. Burrow climbed 3%. Herbert climbed 1. Tua lost 4.
Wow.
Which, it's not, I would say that's about right. I mean, Tua, I can't expect ever to go down to 0. I mean, this is as close to 0 as you're going to get.
Yeah. And I think we both kind of imagined a slow start for Tua. He's facing the Rams, who are the second ranked pass defense in the league.
Yes.
And like the game script was negative, obviously. So like it's not surprising, but now he plays the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So what's your prediction for next week?
I'm going to say, good question. Okay. The Bengals are in bye. So that's going to change it a little bit. I'm going to say Herbert overtakes Burrow due to the bye. I'm going to say it's going to be 47, 45, and 8. in favor of Herbert.
Yeah, and Herbert plays the 24th ranked pass defense Raiders. God, he's got a good string of games to finish the season here. Wow. I don't know, man. Like, Herbert deserves to be ahead of Burrow at this point, but people are...
I don't think so.
I think it's just with how he's played.
Why? You don't think Burrow's played well?
Burrow has played well, but not like Herbert.
Why? What have you seen that suggests that? I disagree. I mean, he's got more... One, he's got more fantasy points.
Burrow seems to have a lower floor.
I get it. Points per game. Burrow seems to have a what?
A lower floor.
A weekly floor?
A lower floor.
Yeah. Okay. A weekly. Got for career or just weekly performance?
Weekly performances.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. You're right. They're about tied for points, but you're right. Burrow's had his bye. Yeah. Herbert's had his bye. Or didn't play week one. That's right.
Oh, and has his bye. Yeah. So yeah, big difference.
Yeah. So I think Herbert has done enough to earn that, especially like situation, team situation. Like Burrow is just under attack and it's not getting any better, and he's on pace to be sacked. I think it was something in the hundreds. It was unbelievable. Like
he's not on pace for 100. He's at 28 right now, 56 right now is what his pace is.
56 sacks. That's right. 56. I was looking at hurries and knockdowns too. He's just under duress, and I don't think that's changing. Obviously, the season, and maybe like it's going to be a long time before they're able to fully address that offensive line. And Herbert's in just such a better situation, you know. Better, I can't say better receiving options because Higgins, Boyd, and you know, old AJ is not, you know, something to scowl at. But I just think that Herbert's situation, specifically with the offensive line and how the offense runs, is better. Now, Burrow is going to get a ton of volume, and that's good, but his average distance of pass isn't very good. Average, what do you want to call it, air yards?
Yards per attempt, yeah.
Average attempt, yards per attempt. So he's kind of like dinking and dunking. I think it's not because he's choosing to do that, because he doesn't have enough time to go through his progressions and look deeper. He's having to, you know, go with the security checkdowns and stuff like that. And I think Herbert is more safe in the immediate future, and I could see them kind of changing places in value. So, but having that been said, people who have Burrow and who like Burrow are stubborn about it, and I don't think the vote's going to change. So I think it's going to be, I think Tua is going to pick up to like 10% after a decent performance this week. There's going to be some excitement. I'll even give him 12%. How's that?
12.
I'll give him 12, but I'll go 45 Burrow. 45, 43, 12.
Okay.
And what was yours again? Are you writing it down?
47, 45, and 8.
5, 8, 45, 43, 12. And you think Herbert overtakes Burrow?
Yes, because Burrow's on bye. And that always matters for people when they're voting. How many fantasy points, or how many games, so between Herbert and Burrow, they've played? What is that? 14 games combined. How many games under 15 points have they had?
I know for a fact Burrow has had one, and I don't think Herbert has ever had one under that. So I'm going to say one.
Yes. So collectively, they've had 13 out of 14 of their games over 15 fantasy points.
What a good class. Our friend Brian tweeted something out. He's basically asking if Tua can turn it up, do you think that this quarterback class could be one of the best in history? Like, we're turning back the clock to Dan Marino, John Elway, and Jim Kelly almost.
Yeah, you can also look at the Rivers, Big Ben, and Eli.
Rivers, Big Ben, Eli. Yeah, I mean, Eli is disrespected because of recency bias, but he was good
in his time. Yeah, he was great.
But yeah, so I guess if you're using Super Bowls as the single point of measurement, it's obvious, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Elway, Marino, Kelly in our mind stands out as just more of a, it almost feels a little bit more, you know, mythology in a sense, because they're just so far removed from current.
Yeah.
And I think like when we go back and think about, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
For me, I feel like
Because we do say Elway, Marino are top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
All time,
I think almost everybody has them in the
top
10.
I don't think Eli has.
But nobody has the other three guys in the top 10. So maybe you're right. I'll give it to you.
And I think the reason is because like Marino kind of like revolutionized the game. Like people weren't passing for the kind of volume of yardage that he was previous to him coming. Like he was like the ambassador of passing.
Yeah.
The ambassador.
Get ambassador. It? Yes. Nice job.
And Elway, I think he was just like the opposite of like he was on a winning team, a winning franchise. He was the goody, you know, two shoes, good boy guy. And like they each had like these just defined personalities, but like they just like you said, they were considered the best of all time. And I don't think anybody will say that they're unless they're related to Eli, in their opinion, that Eli is a top 10, top 15 all time guy, even though he probably deserves to be considered in that group. He just like he's not. So
he's I don't think he's good enough to be that high. But anyways, yeah. But yeah, this quarterback class, if Tua steps it up, could be.
It could be the best trio of all time. Could be.
But last but not least.
Yeah, our last poll.
We've had 3 weeks of Juju, Deontay, Claypool. Last week, or the first week, we remember Claypool won 52% of the votes. Deontay came in second at 25. Juju came in third at 23. Last week, Deontay came in at 52. Juju came in at 28. Claypool came in at 20. What do you think this week was, Hurley?
Juju did all right. I'll say Claypool. Yeah, and Claypool had a couple targets again. He wasn't completely dismissed like he was the week before. I'm going to say things have evened out a bit more. So tell me again what last week was.
52 for Deontay, 28 for Juju, 20 for Claypool.
I'm going to say 48 for Deontay and 27 for Juju. 25 for Claypool. I think that adds up to 100.
Okay. Deontay, 41. Claypool, 33. Juju, 26.
Okay. Yep, I think that's reasonable.
And I think something gives me this feeling like I feel like moving forward, this is going to probably be where things lie, where it's Deontay one, and then Claypool and Juju are going to be jostling for two and three every week. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I agree, and I don't think that's unreasonable. The Claypool thing is going to be interesting to continue to monitor. You know, week to week after that game that he had, but we'll see.
I think that's Deontay got hurt again, bro. he left the game for a little bit with a hammy deal.
That's not good.
Boy's got to stay healthy.
He's got to figure it out. And that's it for polls, and that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you for joining, you guys. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Our main handle is at FF Dynasty Trades. You can follow Izzy at DTC_IzzyE, Jonathan Mosier, our producer, at DTC_JohnMosier. And you can find me at FF Hercules. Thank you for listening. Check you guys next week. Bye. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick. I'm bad at the bone. They mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a valuable rose is dandy.